Greetings, the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's indeed a privilege once more for me to share with you from the Word of God. I'd like to read from Exodus chapter 12. It's about the Passover, but I like to show the link between the Passover and the Lord's Supper, commonly called the communion. There is a link. Exodus chapter 12, reading verses 12, 13, and 14. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Sure, the Lord will bless this portion to our hearts for his name's sake. Our gracious God, we just want to give you thanks and praise for your word. Your word means everything to us. It is light to our path. We pray, oh God, that we'll be all edified. We pray that if there's any soul here to be saved, we pray that that person will not look to the right nor to the left, but to surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we read about God dealing with his people, his chosen people, the Israelites. But while he was dealing with them, he had a plan for us. Someone might question that God may be partial. Why he have chosen people? Why not we? But we were in the plan, and God has something great for us. Our hallelujah is very much louder than their hallelujah. Brother Cato, is Brother Cato 94 years old? He said that we need to shout hallelujah. God had a plan for us. So God never leave us out of that thing. There's something special for us. So the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. So the land of Egypt would represent the world today. It points to the world today. So even though he was talking about the land of Egypt, we were in the plan. So the land of Egypt points to the world today. And he told them to speak to the congregation of Israel. The congregation of Israel would point to the body of Christ today. Look at it. So he must tell them that they should get a lamb for a household. And why a lamb? A lamb is an innocent animal. A lamb is gentle. And that lamb points to someone special. And your lamb, it says that the lamb should be without blemish and a male. So you see, it's pointing to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. So you see, Christ had a plan for us through Jesus Christ. So they were to get this lamb, keep it until the 14th day of that month, and they should kill it at twilight. So in killing, That means there is a sacrifice. So they must sacrifice that lamb. So that points to Jesus Christ sacrificing his life for us. So they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and lintel. Make a note of the word some, not all. The blood is powerful. Even one drop can do the job. Even one drop, some of the blood. So there is power in the blood. When the blood is applied, something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. So the two doorposts and the lintel, doorpost and lintel, that would signify an entrance, don't it? Entrance. So that points to our heart, the entrance of our heart to allow Jesus Christ to come in. The blood, when the blood is on that entrance, something good happens. The blood. So he says that I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night and will strike all the firstborn. Pass through the land of Egypt. Remember, the land of Egypt signifies the world today. So there is no hiding place. There is no escape. None escape that punishment that it was intended for in Egypt. And so it is in our world today. Those who choose the pathway of destruction or reject Jesus Christ as a personal savior, there is no escape. So the target was to strike the firstborn, whether man or beast. That was the target. So the Lord will execute judgment, for he is the Lord. And now the blood shall be a sign or a mark. Now, what's our mark as Christians? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So when we are, when we come in contact with that blood, or that blood come on us, we are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. And so there is no mistake that can happen. No mistake when it comes to past striking. So when the striking was taking place, there was no mistake and it missed those who it never intended for. It's precise. So the blood gives the intended result. So there's no mistake when it comes to the blood. And even more so, the blood of the Lamb of God. So he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There is no condemnation, as Romans 8 verse 1 reminds us. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So the plague shall not be on them to destroy them. That's the plague would speak of, points to the final destruction. So the war that's taking place in Ukraine is not the final destruction. Nor World War III, if it should occur, wouldn't be the final destruction. Final destruction. We don't have a clue. It's far beyond we can imagine. And we hear about hellfire. It's far beyond what we can imagine. No one, as you ever think about that, there'd be no air to breathe. Has that ever come to your thought? There'd be no oxygen to breathe in hell. There'd be no breath. It's terrible. It's not just fire. There'd be nothing there to sustain life. It's just that death would be destroyed. And so there'd be no physical death taking place. It's going to be a terrible thing. So that day to the Israelite shall be a day of memorial. So something to remember. And what they need to remember was their liberation. from slavery in Egypt. So they should keep that day, keep it as a feast, an everlasting ordinance. And that feast they keep as the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Passover festival. But that points to the Lord's Supper, the communion. You see, the hold. God is just showing you that the hold, it was a shadow of the real thing that was to come. And he was just showing that the hold must pass for the new to take place. And thank God, we are in the time of the new. We are in the dispensation of the grace of our Lord. We can say, thank God that we were born in this time. Life was much difficult, much harder in those times, where they had to be slaughtering on a daily basis animals. It was a bloody altar. You can imagine the amount of cleaning and washing and so on that's to be done after slaughtering. It's a lot of work, and that had to be done over and over and over. And regardless of that, the blood of the lambs, animals, could not wash away sins, could not cleanse one stain. But that was just pointing to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ that he made for us. How can we reject Christ? Looking through, you see, the Old Testament was written within a particular time, and it speaks a lot to the children of Israel, but it is for our learning. There is righteousness in the entire Bible. It is for us to read and to learn. And when we can look back and see where we are coming from, we can better appreciate where we are going. We can shout, hallelujah, thank God for Jesus Christ. So we are going to turn to Matthew 26. We are basically looking at the synoptic gospels. Synoptic mean having the same view. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they carry the same message on the celebration of the Passover. Jesus Christ celebrating the Passover with the disciples. So in Matthew 26, verse 17 to 25, or Mark 14, 12 to 21, or Luke 22, 7 to 13, they carry the same, basically the same message. But I'll be choosing St. Matthew 17, or 17 to 25, but I'll just read 25 to give a picture. So, or 24. St. Matthew 26, verse 24. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. 25. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said unto him, you have said it. So, on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, where should they prepare for the Passover? But Jesus sent two of the disciples into the city to a certain man to tell him that the teacher said that his time is at hand. What time is at hand? It's talking about the crucifixion. And that they should prepare the room for the dining area for the Passover. So when the evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he made a shocking announcement about his betrayal. See, but the Son of Man must go as it is written. But woe to that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Many people today are betraying the Lord Jesus Christ without even thinking. In Judas' heart, it's as if he was saying, away with Jesus Christ, away with this man. The love of money, is the root of all evil.
He gave away Jesus
for 30 pieces of silver. And in our world today, we can see that love of money mentality. Money is not bad. But craving, the Bible tells us that we not to overwork to be rich. It's there. We're not to run down riches. Don't have the greed for it. Judas did that to his demise. And the Bible said that it was better for him not to be born. And earlier on, born again was mentioned. Judas, it was better that Judas had not been born because he hadn't been born again. He never been born again. So he was saying, away with Jesus Christ in his heart. But he was like being a hypocrite. He was around Jesus with the disciples. He was there in the midst. But the Bible says, not everyone who said, Lord, Lord, shall enter. And so in our world today, there are many Judas, many hypocrites. They gather around us. They shout the biggest hallelujah. But they have never truly been born again. They think that going to church can save you. They think that baptizing in water, literal physical water, can save you. No. Talking about that, there is no temporal thing on earth that contributes to salvation. But there is no water, literal water baptism that saves you. It's the baptism by the Holy Spirit that saves, that baptizes you into the body of Christ. So there's a baptism that saves, but not the literal water baptism. You can't be saved by keeping a day holy. You can't be saved by eating certain food and abstaining from certain food. You can't be saved by giving the biggest offering and by doing all the good you can. There's only one way, and Judas missed that way. Judas rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So on earth today, there are basically two sets of people. It's not good tidings, brethren, and church of God. No. It's those who accept Jesus Christ and those who reject him. Simple as that. Two sets. So forget about the denomination. Word names that we assign to the assembly. Whether you're a church of God or Adventist or Pentecostal, and you name them. Christ is coming for those who accept him. Those who have been born again. Those who have been a new creation. And many persons today are rejecting Christ and say they don't want to come to this salvation because they're afraid of sinning, they're afraid of backsliding, and they have all sorts of excuses. Forget about those preconceived ideas, because when you come to Christ, you would now be a new creation. Christ will take care of things for you. Don't take it up in your hand. Your life's going to be changed. And we preach that if you save, you cannot be lost. So someone might question, so we can't sin as we like. We are a new creation in Christ. We don't think that way anymore. We worship Christ out of love. Love. We don't have to fight. We don't have to kill ourselves. It comes natural because we are a new creation in Christ. We have a new desire. A new joy, new hope. So the meal that Jesus Christ shared with his disciples during his ministry on the night before his crucifixion was the last in the series of meals. And so it was during the Last Supper that Jesus Christ took two emblems of the Passover, or two elements of the Passover, and made them into symbols of his death: the bread and the wine. So Jesus' death would be the final sacrifice, enabling all people to receive the final, or the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. And so when we gather around the Lord's table, not our table, it is the Lord's table, we can sing hymn like 171, "No blood, no altar, no." There are certain hymns that we sing from the book. It's not any and any song that we just select like that. We select carefully because it's about Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So we select hymns that are pertinent to the communion. "No blood, no altar, now the sacrifice is over. No flame, no smoke, ascend on high. The lamb is slain no more. But richer blood has flowed from nobler vein to purge the soul from guilt and cleanse the reddest stain." Verse 2, "We thank thee for the blood of Christ thy Son, the blood by which our peace is made, our victory is won." We are victorious people. We are not losers. We are victorious people. Great victory over hell and sin and woe. Jesus Christ demonstrated that. Even in the grave, he is Lord. So as Christians, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to worry if we die. I wonder if God is going to remember to wake us up, bring us back. He's the master. It said that leaves no second fight and leaves no second foe. Jesus Christ is our example. And so when we come together at the Lord's table, we come to remember him in his death and resurrection. We come to magnify him. God the Father points to Jesus Christ himself. The Holy Spirit is here on earth not to represent himself, but to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ now. But we give thanks to the Father for him. But we cannot have access to the Father without going through Jesus Christ. So there is a distinction between Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. God is triune. And there are many critics out there saying that we worship three God, when it's one God, but it's three distinct persons in one being. And so it's a triune God. It's not the Father who died on the cross for us. It's not the Holy Spirit who died on the cross. So we have to be careful how we pray and the words that we, choice of words that we use. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross. But it's the Father who sent him. The Bible made it clear that there are three that bear records. Three. There are. That's plural. Three. And these three are one. It's plain. I don't know. Some persons misinterpret that. And there is nothing, there's no physical thing we can use to explain the triune God. Persons try to use things to explain, but there's nothing to explain. You cannot absolutely explain God. We cannot fully understand God. We can learn of God by his attribute. He's faithful. God is love. So his attributes, we come to know him. So Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, which is commonly called the communion. So Christians partake of this repeatedly as a memorial of his death. So we are still in the Synoptic Gospels, and I choose Matthew. As I said, we can go to Mark and Luke as well, because synoptic meaning that they have the same view, they share many of the stories, same stories, using identical words, similar words, and so on. But we're just sticking with Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, This is my body. Then he took the cup, which is the cup of wine, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So some persons misinterpret this verse that say, for this is my blood. All right, so there's a doctrine which is known as a transubstantiation, that they believe that the bread and the wine literally turn into the body and the blood of Christ. What a misinterpretation. But they are symbols, symbols. So he's simply saying that the bread signifies his body and the blood, the wine is blood. So it says for the remission of sins. So sins need to be removed because we sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. And the soul that sinned shall surely die. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they died. But what death? Spiritual death. They died spiritually. They were created, they were spiritually connected with God. And so they died spiritually. So thank God that God made a way for remission of sin so that we can be born again or experience a spiritual birth. Because we were dead spiritually. So those who have been redeemed are born again or experience a spiritual birth and are freed from everlasting death. There's a death called everlasting death. So physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. But the physical death is going to take place if time permits, because the Lord can put in his appearance any moment. Some people are saying that we shall all die. No. If Christ comes now, those who are alive and remain, we shall be changed. We shall be changed. This flesh cannot inherit the kingdom. This flesh is sinful, so it must pass. So when we are born again, it is not the flesh that is born again. It is you who inside of this flesh. Your soul is born again. It's born of an incorruptible seed. And the soul who is born again cannot sin. Did you know that? The Bible says, you cannot sin. We say, how are you saying? It's not the soul. The soul is born of an incorruptible seed. And that's why the body will be left behind. Thank God, the sinful body. So there's a war going on with the sinful body. So earlier on, we look at 171. We can also look at the hymn 170. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away one stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Just read one more verse. We now look back to see the burden thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and know our guilt was there. All right, could read more, but for the sake of time, I'll just cut that. So, the communion, what is the communion? So the communion is the act of gathering around the Lord's table to give thanks and to remember the death of Christ and our relationship through the new covenant. And why I'm delivering this message, you know, many persons come, they visit the church, they may not understand why we break bread, what's the significance of it. And so they have this thing in their mind. So just to make it clear to you, and that this is a permanent ordinance and a command that was set in place by Jesus Christ until he comes. So the main purpose is to remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross and proclaim him as Lord and Savior. So when we gather to break the bread, take the cup, we are proclaiming. Proclaim means to make known publicly. So there's a powerful message in the communion service that we have. It is not a message different from the message of the cross. It's the same thing. They are the same thing. And so
We will continue to do this as the word of God commands us. As often as we do, we show forth his death until he comes. So Jesus Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We have been made whole. We have been made complete. Someone say, we are sinners. No, we are not sinners. We were sinners. We were sinners. Some people have it wrong. Sinners will be left behind. You are no longer sinners. You have been made perfect. In other words, you can say that we were sinners, but saved by grace. Sinner is not one who sins. Sinner is one who practices sins. Sinner is one who practices sin. For everyone sin. So everyone would be sinner, even those who are in Christ? No, it's those who are slave to sin. And that's why Christ came to free us from the bondage of sin. God freed the Israelite from the bondage of slavery. Jesus Christ freed us from the bondage of sin. Right, I'm just cutting the message short as time going. So reason we observe the Lord's Communion. One, to commemorate. Two, to anticipate. Three, to participate. So commemorate means to remember. So remember. So this was established. The Lord intentionally established the Lord's Supper or the celebration during the Passover. He was pointing that this, even the Passover must pass. It would be of the hold. So the Passover was instituted by God as a memorial of the deliverance of Israelites, of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. But the Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus Christ to be a memorial of his deliverance of those who trust in him from sin's bondage. And when we gather, we can sing hymn like 311. These are some very important hymn relevant to the communion. We come to commemorate. We come, our gracious Father, with many hearts as one. And here we only gather in memory of thy Son. Verse 2, we prize, or whilst breaking bread, we ponder, Lord Jesus, on thy love, and see with silent wonder what drew thee from above. So we gather to commemorate, remember, also to anticipate, which is to expect. With the words, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus anticipated a reunion with his disciples in his Father's kingdom. Likewise, he instructed them to partake of the Lord's Supper in anticipation. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. So we observe the Lord's Supper in anticipation of his return. And that's why we sing hymn like 106. That said, it may be at morn. It may be when the day is awakened, when the sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. Anticipation. And we also gather to participate. Mean to take part in an action. And this is to participate in a congregational act. We can't just go by ourselves in the corner and and to break the bread and wine. It has to be a congregational act to show our unity, to affirm our faith, to celebrate the complete work of Christ, to proclaim or visibly proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Right, so those who have accepted Jesus Christ are locked in his embrace. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us with his arms stretched wide to draw all men unto him. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross. The extent to which his arms stretch open wide shows you how he loves us and ready to lock us in his embrace. Those who have accepted him are locked. Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing on earth above nor below. You are locked in his embrace. So eternal life is through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. So we participate. Our participation must be done in a particular way. Because Paul made this clear in 1 Corinthians 11. So the brethren in Corinth, when they gather, instead of strengthening their unity, there was division among them. They weren't acknowledging the Lord's body when they come. They were there for personal interests. There were factions there, small groups, groups that have different beliefs. And so they come, some of them come for a belly full. In those times, the bread wasn't given out how we do it in a more controlled manner. It was a large amount that they could eat belly full and drink and drunk. Some were drunk, some were hungry, some never have any. So it was, some felt ashamed, they were ashamed. They shame others who don't have anything to eat. Some come with a hungry belly to eat, and it was finished on them, and so some were hungry. They come with the wrong motive for the communion. So, in 1 Corinthians 11, I will just close with that verse and comment on it. Paul said that, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There are many misinterpretations of this verse. So when we come together, we come together to discern the Lord's body. So they were coming for other reasons. So if someone come to partake and their mind is not on the Lord, it's not about the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be unworthy. Your mind has to be on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So it doesn't mean that because someone sinned in the past and asked forgiveness mean that you're unworthy. No. It is the motive that you're coming for. The motive. And if Judas were present in our midst, very likely he would be the one eating unworthy. As I said, there are many persons like Judas in our world today, who give away the Lord Jesus Christ. They just come around and hang around for a show, but they are hypocrites. So, the communion is, there's no other gathering that the body of Christ can gather like having participating in the communion. I had to rush the topic because of time, but I hope that we have all learned something, especially those who are not saved. You accept Christ before it's too late. Do not delay. And as we said, war is going on. It's just reminding you that, yes, God has always been near. And this is just a reminder. We are in the time of grace. Accept Jesus Christ before it's too late, for his name's sake. Amen.